2 minutes on the subject of books. We've all got books in our homes, although perhaps some of us who are more technical savvy have fewer books these days and more in electronic form. But there's nothing like a physical book, is there? Reading books, but also books that hold information, like address books and perhaps accounting books for our money. And it's a safe and helpful record to keep it all within 2 covers. But the Bible says that God keeps books as well. Not that he needs any help with remembering things, but it's told us in order to help us to understand that God notes and remembers and knows absolutely everything. And it's a picture to help us to understand that. Now, I want to tell you about 3 books that God keeps according to the Bible and what lessons we can learn from them. The first book is called the Book of Life. And in this book, God has the names of absolutely everyone whom he has brought into the world through human parents. Sometimes it's called the Book of the Living. David, in one of the Psalms, says that when he was in his mother's womb and he was being formed, it was according to his members that were written in God's book. All that we are now has come from the record that God made that we should become in terms of who we are. So it means that God knows about all the people in the world. 7 billion of them living at this time, speaking 6,800 different languages. God knows their names, their faces, when they're born, and they go into the book, when they're to die, and they'll be taken out of the book. We're told that God even knows the number of the hairs on our head, and he knows all about you and me. And that tells us of what a great God he must be, to have all that knowledge all before his mind in that way. But that is the great God, the creator, and the one who sustains us, and the one who blesses us all our lives long. So we're in the Book of Life, the Book of the Living. The second book that God keeps is called the Book of Remembrance. And it means that God keeps a record of everything that you and I do and say and even think. He notes it all, and it all goes down in his book. He knows about everything that happens to us as well, and that's in his book. And that's a great comfort. The psalmist said in the Old Testament, "Are not my tears in thy book?" He sees and knows when we're crying. We came into this world, didn't we, crying as babies? First thing a newborn baby does, not laugh, but cry. As if to say, that's going to characterize a lot of that baby's life, right throughout and to the end. But God knows all about that. There's a king in the Old Testament called Hezekiah, and he was distressed once, and he was praying to God, and God said, "I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears." All in his book. And you can never say that God doesn't care about people who are upset. It's a great comfort. And in another Old Testament book, we're told that godly people who talked to each other, a book of remembrance was written, and it was all put in that book because God hearkened and heard it. So it's a great comfort to know that God doesn't pass by things when we're upset, doesn't look at things indifferently, things that are happening. It's all on record, and he doesn't forget when we're upset. And of course it means he'll remember to give us comfort. But another side to this book of remembrance is that all the wrong and the bad things that we do goes into that book as well, and is noted and remembered. Every wrong thought, every bad word, every sinful action, and it's all in that book. God doesn't pass by any of it. It's all known to him. Every lie we've ever told, every selfish action, every jealous feeling, every spiteful word, every swear word, every blasphemy, everything, every anger, it's all there in his book. And on the day of judgment, at the end, we read in the Bible that the dead, who are now raised from the dead, and they stand before God, and the books were opened, and they were judged out of all the things that were written in those books. And to remember that is very important, because it can be the beginning of our realizing that things are not right with us, and that we need to be saved from our sins, because we are accountable to God. We answer to God for how we have been. In John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, the man Pilgrim gets converted and he sets off on pilgrimage, but his wife doesn't believe, and she makes fun of him. But he is on his way to heaven on the pilgrimage. And then when he reaches heaven, the second part of Pilgrim's Progress opens with Christiana, his wife, having a dream. And this is how God spoke to her and brought that home to her. In her dream, she saw an angel coming down, and a scroll was unrolled right in front of her. And on that scroll was a great list of all the sins that she'd ever committed in her life. And it terrified her. And she woke up frightened stiff. And it was that that God used to set her mind thinking and to make her realize that she needed to be saved and that she needed to go on pilgrimage to heaven as well. But it's an illustration again, you see, of something that's quite biblical, that God has the list. Our sins are not things that are just water under the bridge and gone and forgotten. They might be by us, but they're not by a holy God. Everything, everything is remembered. It's all in the book, and it'll be opened on the day of judgment. And we've got to face God for the sinners that we've been. And that means that we need to be saved, and we need to be forgiven, and have a new heart and a new beginning if we're ever to go to heaven, because our sins are against us and they will close heaven to us. So the book of remembrance is a comfort on the one hand, but it's a very serious challenge on the other. How would you feel if someone came to you and said, "You don't know me, but I've been watching you for these last 10 years, and I've got the record of everything wrong that you've done." My word, that would frighten us. But you see, God has got the record, the bad record, of everything we've been since the day we were born. And that's a very solemn thing. So the book of life, and the book of remembrance. And then the third book, the Lamb's book of life, or the book of heaven, because that contains the names of all those who are true Christians and belong to Jesus Christ. One day the disciples came to Jesus and they were thrilled to bits because so many people had listened to their preaching and they'd worked miracles. And Jesus said, "But in this rejoice not. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven." And those people whose names are written in the book of life are those who are real Christians who are going to become real Christians. And for them, the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price of their sins. That's why it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And it takes us back to the Old Testament, where lambs were sacrificed, and a sinful man would bring a nice, clean, snow-white little lamb and bring it to the priest at the altar, and the man would put his hand on the head of that innocent lamb and confess his sins over the head of that lamb. And the fact that his hand was on the head showed that his sins were being transferred from him onto the innocent victim. And then the priest would kill the lamb, and the blood would be shed, and that blood would be what would cleanse or remove the guilt of that sinful man. But that was the lamb. But of course, that was a picture of the Lord Jesus who was to come. And he's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so Jesus died as a sacrifice on the cross to do what we can't do, to remove our sins and make us right with God. The Lamb's Book of Life. And if you trust in the Lord Jesus with all your heart, you'll find that your bad record in the Book of Remembrance will be blotted out forever, because it'll be covered by the death of the Lord Jesus, who has paid the price of sin. And you'll be right with God. You'll have peace with God. And your name will be shown to be in that book. And Jesus will have dealt with your sins. The Lamb's Book of Life. And of course it means that all those real Christians who are saved, who belong to Jesus, whose names are in that book, they're safe and they can never miss heaven, because it's the Lamb's Book of Life, and it means eternal life, the book of heaven. It says that all those whose names are not in the book of life were cast into hell, but those whose names are in the book of life were received to heaven, because Jesus died for them and opened heaven to them, all freely by his grace and not by any works or any good thing that we could ever do, because our good things are bad things in God's sight. They're only more sins. And we'll never be lost. We can go to heaven. The Bible says that those who are in the book of heavenly life, the Lamb's Book of Life, they have heaven, which is a place incorruptible, undefiled, and reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. In other words, it's your name, you see. See, if you came to this tea this afternoon, and if we did a different system, and you had actually to sort of purchase a ticket so that you could have a particular place at the table, you would sort of perhaps say, well, I'm hoping to come, and I'd like to sit on the table on that side, and place number 3. And so that would be reserved for you. And you'd come along and we'd say, what's your name? As if we didn't know. But anyway, we'd say, what's your name? And you'd tell us your name. Ah, that's your place reserved there. See, it's for you. And everyone in the Lamb's Book of Life has a name reserved and a place reserved in heaven. And it won't fail to be yours. The difference is, of course, we can't pay for it. Jesus has paid the price. And if we trust in him, it's ours freely. So Christians are not afraid to die. Naturally, maybe they are, but they need not be, because their place is reserved. Their name is in the book, and they're known in heaven already. And they're going there to occupy that place. I have a photograph here. Some of you have seen it. Judith brought it along. And it's a photograph of 6 people. And these six people used to belong here in this church. And many of us knew them very well and remember them very fondly. Six people: Anne Williams, Judith's mother, Ron and Martha Parry, Doris Thomas, Mary Ewer, Dorothy Lewis. They're not here anymore. Where are they? Well, their names are in the Book of Life. They were saved, sinners saved by grace. And now they're in heaven. Their reservation has been occupied. They're in that place prepared. Lovely to think. We won't see them here again, but those of us who are Christians will see them again one day, because they've gone to the church above. And so remember the books that God keeps. The book of the living, we're all in that, aren't we? Whoever we are, because we're alive now. But our names will be removed when we die. The book of remembrance, we're all in that too. For our comfort, and all our sinful record is there. But the Lamb's Book of Life, is our name in that? And the only way we can be sure is if we trust Jesus, the Lamb of God, and trust him with all our hearts to save us from our sins. Not to look to ourselves, to anything that we can do. We're not to trust in any other except the Saviour God has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Trust him and you'll find it will be. And this life will give way to the glorious eternal life in heaven one day. May it be so for us all. Amen. Let us pray.